Well, greetings again, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Something on your mind, something you'd like to discuss with us, a good opportunity right now. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742, both in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
So the grace of God teaches us to say no to sin and to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation. How does it do that? Well, yesterday we talked about a passage out of the book of Colossians, do not touch, do not handle, do not taste. And he's saying don't submit yourself to those rules and regulations. They're nothing but self-made religious activity. And as I said yesterday, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch does not work as far as a Christian is concerned and living in the abundance of this new life that we have in Christ Jesus. So what is the wisdom from God as far as our life in Christ is concerned? And Paul talks about that in chapter 3. He says, if then you have been raised with Christ, and that is the key deal. Have you been raised with Jesus Christ? Because that really is salvation. You were dead in trespasses and sins. When you come to Christ by faith, you receive him. He makes you alive. He raises you up with him so that you can walk in the newness of life. So if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So we live our lives with our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, with our hearts fully engaged in a trust-dependent relationship with him. That's the way forward. That's how we bear the fruit of God's Spirit in our life. We can't do it through rules and regulations, through self-made religion or severity to the body. We have to do it only through faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you know, you think about where our choices are. Where's my choice? Well, my choice has to do with the mind, the mindset, the attitude. I don't choose to get my heart cleaned up if it's already cleaned up. If I'm in Christ, I've got the new heart. I don't choose to try to inch closer to the God of the universe. Look, if I'm saved, then I'm united with Christ. Christ is my life. So I'm not going to get a brush up on my spiritual self. I'm not going to get a clean up. There is no spiritual squeegee that God is going to kind of polish me up with every day. Because, you know, Colossians 2 says, crucified, buried, raised, you're new, you're new, you're new. So you're already clean. You're already close. You've already got the new heart. You've already got the new spirit. So then people ask all the time, all right, I get it. I get it. I've got a new identity. I'm new at the core. But what do I do? I don't want to be spiritually bored. I want to have an adventure. I want to have a journey. I want to have a challenge before me. I want to run the race that Paul talks about, that God has invited me to. So what is that race? What is that choice? And I think that is what we're talking about today. And it has to do not with the heart or with the spirit. God has rigged those already. Everything's set up. But it has to do with the mindset, the attitudes, the daily choices. And there is an adventure there, guys. There is a journey there. There is a challenge. There are fiery darts that come at us. We can choose to believe lies or we can choose to believe the truth. We can choose to set our attitudes one way or another. We could fix our eyes on the truth of the gospel, or we can allow ourselves to be deceived. We can go back to old stinking thinking, or we can allow the Spirit of God to renew our thinking and take on new responses. Have you guys ever found yourselves overreacting? Do we ever react wrongly to a situation? Well, of course, we're human. We've got memory banks. We've got habits. We've got quick knee-jerk responses to things. And God is in the business of renewing those reactions, those responses, those attitudes, those mindsets. And that's our job in this, is to just let him do that. But I do know that I can say, God, hey, as far as that software update goes, remind me tomorrow. Remind me tomorrow. And we click that remind me tomorrow button instead of allowing that software update in the moment. And God is trying to show us, look, let's save some time, some wasted effort, some energy. Let's go ahead and get that mind renewed today, right now, as you take on this new attitude. So guys, to me, that's one of the big aspects of the adventure, the journey, the race that we're in. The fiery darts are coming at us, and the joy of it all is that we're not victims to those. We're not slaves to those thoughts. There really is hope, and there really is a bright future ahead as we get our minds renewed.
I love that word adventure, Andrew, and especially when you think of it in terms of the fact that we're not running this race by ourselves. We have Jesus Christ living in us. So the very resurrected one is on the loose inside of us. And boy, that makes every single moment of every single day an adventure as we just simply submit to him. So that's the way forward. And let's talk about it on today's broadcast, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you right now.
Right now in the U.S. or Canada, 844-322-2742. And friends, only 3 days remain before our fiscal year ends, and we really need your help for Basic Gospel to reach that needed goal of about $70,000, and that's not an insurmountable goal. So please help, friends. Just donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. If you'd like to use the postal service, you can mail a check to Basic Gospel. Our address, 751-751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. You can also give through the Basic Gospel app, and Canadian listeners can donate online at basicgospel.net/Canada. If you live cross-border anywhere else, you can donate through PayPal. So a lot of good ways to make this happen and reach that goal. We need to get there and beyond.
Yes, indeed. And speaking of that, we're going to go talk to Brad in O'Fallon, Missouri. And he has been a part of Basic Gospel Nation for a long time, and we certainly appreciate that. And Brad, welcome to Basic Gospel today.
Yes, thank you so much for taking my call. And I'm so very blessed to have Andrew on the program also, because what I'm going to say, I just sent Andrew an email the other day about this, but why do I support Basic Gospel and Andrew Farley Ministries? And the thing hit me the other night while I was listening to Andrew on the radio. It is such a blessing to realize that there's people in the audience who have never heard the truth of the gospel, grace, and new covenant, new identity, freedom, liberty, forgiveness, who have never heard it presented this way. And I am a free man today because of Basic Gospel. I met Andrew Farley through Basic Gospel. And I keep seeking God. I keep waiting, listening in my heart. And as I can, there's no better ministries in the nation. And I know people give a lot of different places, but like you said, I've been doing this a long time, and the benefit, the blessing that I get knowing that people are going to get introduced to the indwelling Jesus Christ and new identity through you all, and it's just so much. And I just can't encourage people, seek God, and you cannot go wrong in helping these ministries spread the word. I mean the truth. And I appreciate y'all. I love you dearly. And I'll talk to you later.
Well, thank you so much, Brad, for those kind and encouraging words.
Indeed.
And I love what he had to say about the joy of giving. I mean, there really is that component of joy that comes with every gift that you give, whether it's to your church, if you're growing there, a ministry like ours, giving to meet a need that you see personally. There's great joy in giving, especially as it's motivated by the grace of God. So we're called to excel in the grace of giving. And I cannot think of a better investment than investing in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to do what it does in the lives of people. So, Brad, thank you for being a part of Basic Gospel Nation. Thank you for supporting Andrew and his work and just getting this word out to as many people as possible. And we certainly encourage others out there in the listening audience to take a stand, join with us, make this good news available to as many people as possible. I think the greatest thing that we can be involved in as human beings, and I think it brings the greatest measure of joy to each and every one of us.
The only thing with eternal consequences.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yes, indeed. So, Brad, thank you so much for that great call. Let's go now to Fairfax, Virginia, and talk with Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. I was reading Psalm 25 yesterday. And there are some verses in there that say that God taught people under the old covenant, verses 8, 9, and 12. And I know that that was before the Holy Spirit was given. So my question is, how did God teach people under the old covenant? I know that under the new covenant, the Holy Spirit teaches from within, whereas under the old covenant, the Holy Spirit would come upon people temporarily. But how does that look like from a teaching perspective? What's the difference there between the new and old covenants?
Great question,
yeah,
Chris.
Yeah, really is a good question.
Yeah, we're glad you brought it to the broadcast. You know, I would say, in my opinion, as you look back on Old Testament, Old Covenant instruction from the Lord, I mean, first, they're meditating. When the law was available to them, they're meditating on the law day and night. They're reading, they're studying. There was a system for tutoring and studying and learning from others who were experts in the law and in the Old Testament scriptures. So there was this external study, first of all, from the Torah, from the Bible in the Old Testament, and there was also the tutelage of others in Israel who were experts in the law. So that was getting to know the scripture itself. But I think, of course, you know, there's something deeper. It's not just words on a page. It's a relationship with God. And God's Holy Spirit made people aware of his truth. I mean, there's still a relationship, whether it was David or Moses or Abraham or Old Testament prophets. They're walking with the Lord. There's relationship with the Lord, connection with the Lord. There's a history with the Lord. You know, the relationship from their vantage point is developing, growing. They're learning more about who God is and his goodness. So, you know, I guess I would say it was pretty amazing in the Old Testament. Now, how much more meaningful is it for us to have that new heart and us to have that new spirit? And then, as you said, to have God's Spirit dwelling in us so that there's no conflict. You know, I think of Romans 7. I know there's a lot of opinions out there about Romans 7, but you know, I think that whether we think Paul was saved or lost, you can still conclude that any devout Jewish person, any devout Israelite who was trying to obey the Lord, follow the Lord, love the Lord with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, avoid coveting, avoid sinning of any kind, well, they would butt up against this same Romans 7 experience of I'm doing the very thing I don't want to do. And that's what the Old Testament relationship ultimately came to, whether we liked it or not, as humanity, you know, Israel especially, under the law, what they experienced was a desire to obey, a desire to walk with God, but an inability to carry that out. And they discovered that they were slaves of sin, that their heart really wasn't in it all the way, and that they needed something better and greater. So guys, to me, that is part of the huge benefit of living under a new covenant. We don't have that conflict. We don't have that conflict with our own heart. We don't have the lack of desire, spiritually speaking. Instead, God has done a heart surgery. He has come to dwell in us, and now our entire spiritual being agrees with him. Of course, we've got the flesh. Of course, we've got temptation and sin and five senses that look out at the world, and all of that is very real. But we're not fighting our own heart, and we're not fighting our own spirit, and we're not fighting God's spirit. So I think that is the beautiful benefit of living on this side of the cross, that our entire being is now in agreement, compatible with Jesus, and it's us and God on the same team as we together in God's strength, as he fights the flesh. You know, the spirit sets its desire against the flesh, and thank God we're on the spirit's team in this one.
Yeah, indeed. Andrew Parley joining Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and me, and we're glad you're with us today. We still have time on the clock and open lines, 844-322-2742. And, Chris, it was good to hear from you.
Yes, indeed. Well, we have a question that came to us on our Facebook page and from Guadalupe, and he's asking, is it a sin to be mad at people that don't accept our Father and then they mock him? They mock God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, this entire gospel message. So is it a sin to be mad at people that who reject the good news of Jesus Christ?
That's an interesting question. You know, I think you could look at it from two different vantage points. I mean, first of all, if the power of sin is operating in us and controlling us, and we are literally walking after the flesh and saying, you know, I'm choosing resentfulness here, I'm choosing bitterness against these people, well, that's a bondage that we're choosing to experience within ourselves. But of course, like Jesus, I believe that we can have a righteous anger against unrighteousness. We can detest sin. We can want better for people, for the world. We can wish and want and hope that people would come to salvation. And when they spit on Jesus, we don't have to like that. And when they mock Jesus, we don't have to like that. And when they insult Jesus, we don't have to like that. So I think it's very natural and normal for a believer who is in Christ, one with the Lord, to hate that, to detest that, to want better for people than that. And, you know, of course, we're going to naturally take offense to that because we're identifying ourselves with Jesus, and the world hated him. The world will hate us. We're told that by the Son of God himself. But I would say the moment that we commit sin is when we allow the power of sin to take hold, to take root, and we begin to act on that anger, developing into bitterness or a resentfulness, or we lash out and do something hurtful to another person. But remember that an emotion is not a sin. And also remember that our new nature goes against the world, so we are going to naturally detest those things that go against who we really are.
Yeah. Richard?
Yeah, there's another aspect of this, is that for most of us, even in these kinds of situations, as Andrew just described, the anger is not the primary emotion, it's the secondary. The primary is fear of something. Oh, I'm going to be embarrassed here, or I said something wrong, or I won't know what to say. And we get all wrapped up in the straw man, in terms of the debate here, that has been presented when it's nothing. I mean, anybody can say anything they want about Jesus. I don't have to accept it. I don't have to believe it. But when I take it too personally, then I respond by fear first, and then I get angry. That's where the emotion has taken over, and like Andrew said, that's when you start getting into a sinful response to something that doesn't need that kind of response. And I know that's one of the things that has bothered me over the years, is, you know, I go from let's talk to I want to run you over with my car in a heartbeat. Yeah. And that's not appropriate. And I had to realize that was a fear response demonstrating itself in anger towards somebody, and God has had to work with me on that and say, why are you angry? There's nothing for you to be worried about here. Yeah. You know, I'm big enough to handle this, Richard. You don't have to defend me. But I get to represent Jesus to those people regardless.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, Andrew, this past week you fielded a question on the issue of brokenness, and boy, that really rang a bell in my life, because when I was a brand new Christian, and that was way back before there was still a mist over the earth, maybe not quite that long, but anyway, many seminars and Bible studies that I attended, they talked about brokenness, and for a Christian, you had to be broken down, basically to ground level by God, so that the only way you had to look was up. What do you say about this?
Well, I'm glad you brought this up, because I do think it is a big misunderstanding in the Christian world. And even under the banner of grace teaching, we could many times sort of hold up this notion of brokenness on a pedestal and say, I got to get there. I get broken. God's got to break me. But I think we need to be careful about what we're saying. I mean, first of all, let's be clear. The flesh is a broken system. The world is a broken system. When I say that, I mean they don't work. The world system is not going to work for us. The flesh is not going to work for us because we're new creations. So, sure, there is a confidence that we have had. In the past, we've had a confidence in the flesh, and we've had a confidence in the world. And that confidence is being broken as I come to the truth of, hey, there's a better way to think, there's a better way to live, there's a better way to respond, and his name is Jesus. Well, as I come to that revelation, then I'm going to be weaning off of the old way of thinking. And there might be some natural pain there, some consequences there in my life as I start listening to the Spirit of God and what he has for me. But that is not God breaking the new creation. Think about it. I mean, if he's already caused you to be crucified, buried, and raised to newness of life, then he's not tearing you down. He's not trying to crush you. He's not trying to break you. Instead, we're told that we need to be built up in Jesus Christ. And that's why I love this new covenant message. And, you know, I love basic gospel, because we get to wake up every day and we get to share with people a message that builds them up in Jesus Christ, encouraging them, edifying them, building them up rather than tearing them down. So, you know, under bad teaching, I used to have as my personal goal, well, I got to get broken. I got to stay broken. I got to try to let God break me. And I was trying to analyze every little thing to make sure I was broken. And when I discovered that my new identity in Christ was that I was a person who was whole and complete and lacking nothing and had everything I needed for life and godliness, that, you know, God wasn't in the business of breaking and discouraging me, but instead he wanted to encourage me and build me up in the truth. Well, that was a big revelation. So let me finish with this. The bottom line is, the world is a broken system. The flesh is a broken way, but we're not the world and we're not the flesh. We are a new creation being built up in Jesus.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love Jesus's first sermon at the synagogue. He takes out the scrolls and he turns to Isaiah 60 and he reads this: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted."
Yeah.
Before we came to Christ, we were broken.
Exactly.
But in Christ, he has bound us up. And that's a term of mending nets. Mm-hmm. So he has mended our nets. He has made us whole. He's made us complete. And that is just incredible, incredible news. So you may be listening today and you may not know Jesus Christ and you may feel broken in your spirit. Well, trust him right now and he will bind up that broken heart and he will make you whole and complete in him. And from that point forward, he will encourage you, he will build you up, he will grow you up in his love and his grace and his mercy and in this new identity that you will have in Christ.
And it's a more wonderful life than the Jimmy Stewart version, I guess.
Yes, yes, indeed, yes.
Friends, want to remind you that 844-322-2742 is available 24 hours a day. If you'd like to pose a question to us, we'd love to hear from you. Remember also that today, tomorrow, and Saturday, that's when our fiscal year ends, Saturday at midnight. And we need about $70,000 by midnight this Saturday to get across that finish line. And we hope to hit and go beyond that amount to be able to take this good news to new listeners who need to hear the truth of the gospel just as you have. So we ask you, our friends, to step up and help make this happen. Please go online and donate at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. You can mail your gift to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. You can also give through the Basic Gospel app. other cross-border listeners, you can use PayPal, and Canadian listeners can use basicgospel.net/Canada to make your contribution. And we thank all of those of you who step up to make Basic Gospel possible each day. Well, tomorrow, a wonderful renewal of the marriage series. Marriage series is going on each Friday, and we hope you're partaking of it. And you can access the archive if you've missed any of the foregoing sessions. You can do that at basicgospel.net/teaching. Well, that's it for today. So for Bob and Richard and Andrew and all the staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.